Episode 859, My Strength is My Story with Jody Whitsitt. Extra Grace Required.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Staring at a stop sign, watching people drive by, T-Mac on the radio.
Happy, happy day. It is my favorite day of the week. It is My Strength is My Story day, and I cannot wait to introduce you to Jody Whitsitt, my friend and sister in Christ. We're going to be talking about her life, her struggles, and her joys and her victories. It's all about Extra Grace Required. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Jody's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, Jody is going to impact you today. She's going to share with you her heart, that grief is a love story. She's going to give her, in real time, her emotions, her struggles, where she's coming from. You're going to laugh, you're going to cry, and a lot of it, you're just going to have fun. You're going to feel supported and loved, encouraged and inspired, all with just her special love. I call her my comfy couch sister. And if you want to connect with her, remember, all the information is going to be in the show notes. You can find her at extragracerequired.com. So without further ado, I want you to meet my friend and sister in Christ, Jody Whitsitt, Extra Grace Required. Welcome to Create Your Now. I'm so excited to have on this incredible woman. She is going to warm and touch your heart. She's a brand new blogger. She is a mom of three beautiful, exquisite children. Their age ranges from 9 to 21. So if you thought you were old, just ask her. On top of that, though, she is also a recent widow. Her background is in public relations, and like I mentioned before, she's currently a blogger. She's had a lot of knockdowns in her life, but you know what? She's gotten back up even stronger with her family, faith, and her most incredible friendships. Her mission is to turn her pain into purpose. She wants to encourage and be helpful. And I know today your heart is going to be blessed. Jody, I am so excited that you are here. Come on, girl. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it is my pleasure. I got to tell a little background because I actually met you through our church, but it wasn't in person. It was actually your story that our pastor aired on Mother's Day, and it touched my heart. And I was like, you know what? She's got to tell her story. And so I am so glad that you just said, yes, I'm here with you. Let's chat.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to it.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. And also, for those of you who are wondering, we're going to have all the information in the show notes, but you can find her at extragracerequired.com, and it is Jody Whitsitt. Let's make sure we build the foundation where you are right now. What keeps Jody, Mama Jody, hopping?
By the grace of God.
Amen.
That's how I get up every morning, and that's how I tackle my day. No other explanation for it, because as we all know, especially us mamas out there, life is hard. It's overwhelming. It's stressful. There's not enough hands, and there's not enough hours in the day. So thank you, God, for the strength to get through each day.
Oh, that is beautiful. Do you have a favorite song or Bible verse that you tend to go to when things get just kind of hairy, scary in your busyness of life?
You know, I don't have a signature verse that, you know, is the one that, you know, the one that I hold on to, because the amazing thing about God's word is that it speaks to us in different places, in different times, in different ways.
Yes.
I've gone back to the same verses at different times in my life, mm-hmm. and had very different takeaways from it. When my well, we'll get into my husband, but when he was sick, we really clung to James, the book of James, about perseverance and, you know, just hanging in there. And that gave us so much strength during his illness. After his illness and death, I went back to the same verses, and honestly, it kind of ticked me off. So, I just think that's just the amazing thing about God's word, and proof that it really is a living word, that it speaks to us where we are, and it is a direct hit to what we need at that time.
And you say it's a living word. I don't think some people really get that description. I get it. I know what you're saying. Can you dive a little deeper on that, what you mean by that his word is the living word?
Sure. Well, I'm no theologian. And I don't have, I've never been to seminary. I'm just a regular Christian mom. To me, what it means to be, for the Bible to be the living word, you know, is that, you know, it's an ancient book written thousands of years ago, yet it has relevance today, and it has relevance to what you're going through right now. And that makes it presently relevant and alive.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. That is eloquently spoken, Jody. And I think in terms of when we read the Bible, it's like the old movies you'll go to, you want to go to the classics. This is beyond the classics because it jumps out at the page almost as if you've never read it before. And you may have read it 1,000 times, but this time it means something totally different because where you are in your walk and in your journey.
And it's one of the many ways that I feel God speaks to us. So, you know, there's prayer life, of course. And, you know, I've never had God's voice in my head say, you know, Jody, do this, go this way, you know. I've wished for that. I've wished for God neon signs. But more, it's, you know, in, as far as prayer goes, it's that nudge on my heart or that, you know, I call it a God gut feeling that doesn't go away, even when I might resist it. It stays. It lingers. So that's one way that he speaks to us. And through his word is another powerful way.
Well, I know faith is very important in your life. So I want to go back even further.
Sure.
Let's jump back to kind of the beginning, because you have three beautiful children. And some people may not understand the whole story. So take us back to when you were a single parent from the beginning.
Okay. Well, with my firstborn, I was a single parent from the beginning, throughout the pregnancy, through the birth, and beyond. I carried a ton of shame about that because that's not how it's supposed to go, and I was just ashamed of that. And still, it's a way that Satan tries to gnaw at me, even though I'm forgiven, and I can see now with the benefit of hindsight, you know, how God took that imperfect situation and created good from it. Amen. So he used that struggle that was really given to me by some of the choices I made in my life. And he worked on my heart during that time. And I can't remember. I think it was a daily, you know, flip calendar that I had at the time that said one of the pages was, you don't find the right person until you've become the right person. And I can see now that, you know, God was working on who he needed me to be, or who he needed the husband he intended for me, who my husband needed me to be before he could join us and bring us together. And it was a long 9 years, and there were some times when I thought, you know, maybe I'll never marry, but I knew, but I prayed for my husband, and that might sound a little dorky, you know, or hokey, but I just knew that God had a father, an earthly father in mind for my daughter, and a husband in mind for me.
Yes.
And I didn't know who that would be or when I would meet him, but I prayed for him and I prayed that I would become who he needed me to be and that my eyes would be open. And then, oh, I think my oldest was probably 8. They were forming a new worship bands at church. And so I went to this meeting. I thought, well, you know, I enjoy singing. I would like to try out for this worship band. And there was my husband. That's where I first met my husband. I didn't feel any sparks or anything. And he was a guitar player. He was totally not my type to be. And what I've since learned is, like, that's a really good thing, because he was the type God knew I needed. Mm-hmm. And so we met, formed a friendship, grew closer as a band, which was like our small group. And probably a year and a half later, we started dating and he eventually proposed. And from that moment forward, I mean, my life and my daughter's life was changed so dramatically for the better in all the ways. Emotionally, we didn't have a gap in our heart anymore, a longing for what would complete us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, financially, he removed giant burdens from me. He provided for us and allowed me the opportunity to be a stay-at-home mom, which I always dreamt of being. Wow. And we quickly became... well, we didn't waste any time. And 9 months to the day of our honeymoon, our daughter Lauren was born.
Aww. What another blessing.
Yes, yes. And then shortly, a couple years later, our son. So it was that was kind of the golden years in my life, those with babies at home and just being a stay-at-home mom and wife. And I look back on that time and really just tears flow because of how joyful it was. Mm-hmm. It was just everything I had ever dreamt of.
Yeah.
It wasn't perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, my husband, he had annoying qualities, just like anybody.
Surely and, not.
You know, surely I didn't, but.
No, you're perfect, Jody. I'm, you know, you're just prim and proper all the way.
So we quickly outgrew our starter home, which and looked for a new home. We found our dream home, and life continued to move at a just it. We were just showered with blessings, and life was good. And I remember at our wedding, you know, several of the cards that we received had notes in them about, you know, kind of paralleling our story to a Cinderella story. Like, you know, I've met my prince and happily, I mean, it's truly how it felt. Mm-hmm. And like I said, you know, showered with blessings, life was good. And then one day, suddenly my husband developed his foot was dragging. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that continued for a while. So we sought medical attention. They said, oh, it's a back issue. So we scheduled surgery, allowed the healing time, and what happened was it didn't get better. And so we'd go back and they said, you know, it just needs more time. The nerves need more time to heal. Mm. It didn't heal. So we decided to travel to the Mayo Clinic, world renowned, right? The best doctors in the world. Mm-hmm. And they quickly diagnosed that it wasn't a back problem. And they thought our answer would be at neurology. So we sought help from neurology, who in quick time diagnosed him with a fairly rare neurological disease, a form of neuropathy. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was supposed to be terrible, but not terminal. Okay. And they hoped that it would improve with certain treatments. He went through terrible, heavy steroid treatment, like IV steroid treatment, which side effects were just brutal, didn't improve. We tried other medications, didn't improve. He continued to worsen. And what would happen was that his nerves were dying, and the nerves feed the muscles. So when they weren't feeding the muscles, his muscles would atrophy. Mm-hmm. So one limb by one limb, he was losing ability. You know, first one leg, then the other leg, then, you know, he had to use a walker, a cane, then a walker, mm-hmm. and then eventually a power wheelchair. It was beginning to affect his hands, which made it difficult for him to type and work. And then towards the end, it was affecting his diaphragm, which you don't really think about as a muscle.
Right.
But it's a very important muscle that, you know, helps you breathe and talk. And mm-hmm. So it was just and he was he had a brilliant mind. He had a PhD in biochemistry. And to be so brilliant and have, well, it would be terrible for anyone, but because he was so brilliant and science minded, he knew what was happening to him.
Yep.
And he was trapped in his own body. And we were in a house that wasn't accessible. He was basically trapped in our bedroom. I was taking on a greater role as caregiver, which is not my gift. It didn't mean that I didn't care for my husband and didn't want to do everything possible to make him comfortable and care for his needs. But what happened when I shifted from the role of wife to wife slash caregiver mm-hmm. is that he found himself a little resentful, not really towards me, but towards what was happening.
Yes.
And I sometimes too, because it just was an overwhelming thing to take on and to take care of, you know, his personal needs, mm-hmm. his very personal needs.
Yes.
Again, I love him. I loved him so much that, you know, of course I would do that, but he didn't want his wife to have to do that.
Right.
And so we kind of lost in that period of time, the husband and wife partnership.
Mm.
It became patient and caregiver. And, you know, at the time I was also homeschooling, and it was just a very overwhelming, you know, he was lost in his illness. I was lost in caring for everyone except myself.
Mm.
And it was just a very trying time.
Mm-hmm.
So that went on for a couple years, at least. I mean, really, the timeline is fuzzy. And ironically, it wasn't the disease that actually took his life. It was kind of a freak accident that I can see now is merciful for him.
Mm.
But it was still a shock. We knew this disease was now progressing to the point that it was likely it would take his life. We were talking about permanent ventilators and different things like that, and having to discuss with palliative care about facilities. Mm-hmm. And it was just heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we sought comfort in our fellow believers mm-hmm. that held us up. We sought comfort in prayer. And my husband was always great about grabbing my hands and praying for me, for him, together. Mm-hmm. That wasn't always something I was great about, but he was great about that. And he died just minutes before the clock struck Easter of 2016, which was, you know, I've always said, like, if I could choose the time that I die, mm-hmm. I'd really want it to be around Easter, because what a great reminder that, you know, this is not it. You know, the tomb is empty.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to say that, you know, I took a lot of comfort in that when he died, but it was really more after some time had passed that I found comfort in that.
Jody, I can only imagine what you've been through. And there's a lot of women out there that are hurting. They're hurting from the physical loss because their husband has passed. They're hurting from a divorce. They're hurting from a separation. They're hurting from abuse. I know you're a woman who's so bold and walks strong in her faith. Yet you also know that you don't have it all together. How,
right.
during these times, homeschooling, I was a homeschooling mom of five. I know how crazy it is to homeschool. You have those great moments and you're like, yes, I did it. And then other times you're like, what the heck am I doing? What did I enroll myself into? How can I get these kids out of the house?
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, when it was put on my heart to homeschool, it was before Mark's illness, actually. Uh-huh. And, you know, I thought I had lost my everlasting mind, you know. It's not like, you know, we were just always that family that knew, you know, oh, we're definitely going to homeschool and that's who we are.
Yes.
And my kids had gone to public school. My oldest went all the way through with success. Uh-huh. My youngest started there and her needs weren't being met. She's like highly gifted and it's a special need on the other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
And we tried everything and it was just really out of necessity that mm-hmm. we thought, what are we going to do? And it was heavy on our hearts. And I did my research. Now I can see how it was preparation for what was to come as well. That time we had as a family together was such a gift that mm-hmm. we wouldn't have otherwise had. They had time with their daddy
yeah.
that they wouldn't have had otherwise. We would have read aloud time. We'd all come up to the bedroom where Mark was and we would have our read aloud book time. And it's just something I'll treasure forever. And so it's a reminder that, you know, the more nuts you think it is, if it's a God gut, you've got to follow him. Mm-hmm. And I don't regret it one bit. Mm-hmm. So you asked me, I think, how did we get through this? Or
yeah,
is that
yeah.
the question
I mean,
you
yeah.
had?
How, I mean, because you were in this, and like you said, you were more than caught between a rock and a hard place. It was more like a mountain and another mountain, and not being able to push any of them. How did you? Where did you find the strength? What did you hold on to? Besides, I mean, yes, you get the support of a family and friends that come to you, but still, mm-hmm. you close that door. You know what it's like. You're in your own four walls and mm-hmm. it's different and it can feel not even claustrophobic, but that you're dying yourself.
Yes.
How did you get through that?
Well, I was a hot mess for a long time. I mean, that is just the truth of it. Mm-hmm. And then I had some guilt about being a hot mess because I thought, well, I'm a believer. Mm. I'm not mad at God and I understand that my husband, you know, he's in glory. You know, and I was happy for him about that. But like you said, I felt like I was dying. He was part of me. Mm-hmm. And I look at my children, and that was even worse than my own grief because I couldn't fix that for them.
Yes.
I could love them, but I couldn't say everything's going to be okay with certainty. Mm. So it's perfectly normal for kids after they've lost a parent at a young age to start worrying about their remaining parent, mm-hmm. you know, and they were expressing fears to me about, you know, what if I die? Mm. And it was very hard for me because I couldn't look them in the eye and say, nothing will happen to me mm-hmm. because I don't know that.
Yes.
So we focused on that I'm going to take good care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do everything possible to be healthy here for you for a long time. But it was heartbreaking because my mom heart wanted to tell them everything's going to be fine, but that's not this life. And now they know it. So that was one of the hardest parts, but you asked how did we get through this? You know, of course I had a support system and I have family and I have friendships, but I felt very alone. Mm. And there was a time too where I felt God went dark on me. I was just, I mean, I would go to the garage and just wail. Mm-hmm. I'd just pour my heart out, you know, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. Who am I now?
Mm.
You know? And, you know, the kids went back to public school this year. So suddenly, not only did I not have my husband, mm-hmm. I wasn't a homeschooling mom anymore. I wasn't a caregiver anymore. What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
What is your purpose for me?
Mm-hmm.
I had people send, you know, different devotionals or books on grief, and I read every one of them. And there was information in them. Most of them were, you know, Christ-centered. Mm-hmm. But I struggled because they all pointed to, you know, encouragement and joy. Yeah. And I wasn't feeling joyful. Mm. I wanted to, but I was feeling sorrow, like deep sorrow that I've never felt before. And I felt alone and I felt angry, not angry at God, but just angry and overwhelmed and stressed and, you know, all stages of grief I've gone through. But so what dawned on me was that I can seek joy and still carry sorrow. Mm. We can have those two emotions are actually very closely related, mm-hmm. Which seems very strange to say, but you know, what I'd find was when I'd catch myself in a joyful moment, maybe a prideful moment, so the kids, you know, did something, you know, and I'd want to share that with my husband. That's my natural reaction, to share that pride, because there's, you know, that's who you share the gross pride with, is your husband.
Yes.
You can't brag on your kids that way to your friends necessarily.
Right.
And so then right under that joy was deep sorrow. Mm. And I spent a while just feeling guilty about, well, am I not a strong enough believer? Am I not Christian enough? Mm. You know, am I not faithful enough that I'm having a hard time with joy, even though I want to have it and I want to seek it, I feel so terrible. Mm. And the Bible gives us dozens of examples of people that are crying out to God in anger, in despair, and that gave me comfort. Mm. God gave me an example that said, it's okay. You know, he made me, and he understands my every emotion, and he can take it. And so there was a turning point where I just leaned into that. I caved into allowing myself to feel what I was feeling and not beat myself up for feeling it. And I also thought, man, there is a void of grief books that address this sucks.
Yes.
You know, they're all well-written, encouraging Christian messages, but I felt I needed the real, authentic, sometimes ugly truth so that I felt less alone.
Mm.
And then I started to think, well, if I'm feeling this way, I mean, I'm not that unique. Surely I can't be that unique. There must be other widows and widowers, mm-hmm. Grievers out there, mm-hmm. who need a dose of the truth to feel less alone.
Mm.
And so I began to pray, you know, how do I do that? And how do I do that in a way that glorifies God also,
mm-hmm.
but isn't just a happy sermon tied up in a neat bow?
Yes.
And so one morning I woke up, and it wasn't a dream or anything, but I just woke up with the joy of the Lord is my strength on my heart. Mm-hmm. And I wandered around this house for days thinking, well, what am I supposed to do with that? And what does that mean exactly? And I dove into like trying to figure out the context behind the verse. Like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. And so it led me to writing. And I have a background in, you know, writing is one component of PR. And ironically, it wasn't my favorite part at all. Like, it was the part that I really tried to avoid. Like, if there was an intern in the office, like, okay, you can write that.
You take
that.
I'll
do the part I enjoy.
Right. I love it.
But I started to write. And, you know, at first it wasn't clear to me where I was going with it, but I knew I was supposed to do it. Mm-hmm. And that made me feel crazy again, just like the homeschooling thing. But you know, he has given me experience to know, trust him, no matter how crazy this sounds. And so, I started writing. Then I thought, you know, I want to get this out there to a larger audience. How could I do that? Well, I'll blog. Then I thought, I'm crazy for that. There's a million blogs out there. Why would anybody want to read mine? And I sat on that for a little bit. And, you know, I thought of like, well, what would I call the blog? Well, I found in my grief that, you know, I did some crazy things. For instance, at the funeral, I told everyone in the receiving line, or if that's what it's called, I don't even know.
Right.
This was the best funeral ever. Crazy. I don't know. You know, and so I thought, man, I really need extra grace, you know, and I was appreciative seeing people were giving it to me. Mm-hmm. And I encountered people along the way too. For instance, I called our insurance company to cancel a policy mm-hmm. on his power wheelchair. That was low hanging fruit. I thought I can check that box off.
Yes.
I can handle that one phone call. So I made the phone call, and the person on the other end spent 10 minutes telling me her grief story and then telling me how I should open my heart to be able to receive my next husband. And this was days after the funeral.
Wow.
And, you know, I kept it together and I showed extra grace, but I thought, man, people need extra grace and I need extra grace. And don't we all? And I think that's why God gives it so freely, because we're all a hot mess. And we have good intentions, as this insurance person did, but wrong. Too soon. Wrong thing to say. And that happened a lot. And I realized, and that's how the name of my website was born. Extra Grace Required. I require it. You require it. We all require it. It's not just reserved for a special pool of people that are extra annoying, because the truth is we all are extra annoying.
Yeah, I'm really extra, extra annoying. Ask my husband.
It's human, so.
It is. And that's what I love about you, Jody, because you take this and, you know, you're still healing. You're not over. I don't want people to think who are listening that you do got it all together. Not that you don't, because God does. So he's carrying you. But you're still a hot mess at times. And
absolutely.
I'm sure there's days that you go into your bathroom and you look at your reflection and you're like, I don't want to do a bleepity bleep bleep, whatever word you want to fill in the blank there, today. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like being a mom. I don't want to be a widow. I don't even know that I want to be here.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other days that you're walking around saying, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and you're just praising
right.
him.
Yep. That is absolutely an accurate description of my life. My house is a mess, chronically. Today, as a matter of fact, my 11-year-old is home sick. We have one roll of toilet paper left in the house. This is our life. And I have no shame in putting it out there, because I know that's real.
Yes.
And I think that it's my prayer that by being real and exposing the truth and all my vulnerabilities, not pretending like I have it all together or that I'm the, you know, perfect Christian,
right.
No such thing,
right.
That is liberating for people. And I think that I want to encourage everyone to carefully share what burdens are weighing you down.
Mm.
Because when we keep them hidden mm-hmm. and we put on an air that, you know, everything's fine, it just perpetuates the pain
mm-hmm.
and it certainly doesn't foster healing.
Yes.
But when you just bring it all to the light and say, this is the hot mess that I am, and here's what I'm struggling with,
mm-hmm.
and you admit that, that's when the people come out of the woodwork and say, me too.
Yes.
And that's the response that I've gotten with most, you know, the majority of my posts is a lot of me too. Thank you for putting to words what I've been feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And there's comfort in that for people. And not only for the people that God is trying to reach through what I write,
mm-hmm.
but it's a win-win, because I am getting comfort from the people that are taking the time to comment and share their love stories with me,
mm-hmm.
because grief really is a love story.
Yes.
You know, without love, there's no feeling of loss.
That's right.
So, and like you mentioned, it's not, some grief is also not a special thing just for people who have lost loved ones and friendships to death. Grief happens in job loss. Mm-hmm. It happens when dreams have been crushed. It happens when life doesn't turn out the way that we thought it would. It happens when marriages end. Mm-hmm. It happens when relationships are broken. I mean, grief is a universal experience, but it's so uncomfortable for people. And I think that's because it's a spotlight on our own vulnerability and mortality. Mm. And we don't like to, you know, it's human nature to not want to think about or imagine our own pain, mm-hmm. the possibility of pain that intense, of losing someone we love. So it's uncomfortable. So we don't talk about it. I mean, if it's universal, why do we avoid it like the plague? Here's the newsflash. None of us make it out of here alive. But again, when we don't talk about those kinds of things, it gives it power that it doesn't deserve. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it is my calling to put it in the light in an authentic, real, I write in real time. So whatever I'm writing is what I'm feeling and going through right now, mm-hmm. Which is a little unique. A lot of grief stories are written retrospectively, you know, now I'm fine. What happened? Well, with me, you're just getting kind of the emotional vomit of it all right now.
The emotional vomit. Here it is, and this is how it's going to be. And, you know, Jody, that's the thing, because when you were on the big screen, you didn't feel like you were on the big screen. And that's what is so unique, and that's what draws me to you, and I know that's what's going to draw other people to you. It's not just because you're real. It's because you're that comfy couch sister that you want to cuddle up to and say, I got something to share with you. And it may be pain. It may be an actual awesome experience. It could be a loss. It could be love. But what they see and what they get is you. And that is something that God has given you. And I just love that you are willing to allow him to be crazy in your hot mess life.
Yes.
Because you are going to be a blessing to so many on a comfy couch. And
my prayer.
I can see it now. Like you said, it's that spotlight. And we do get uncomfortable. You know, we don't want to talk about the grief, but it is, like you said, if we have love, that means if there's not love, there's a loss of. And that's a form of a grief. It could be the loss of a puppy dog when you were growing up, and that was your first experience with, or it could be that you killed your little gecko. I don't know, you know, but that's still a loss, you know, to a child. And it can be something devastating as to a life that's lost.
I've also found that people tend to rank grief like they rank sin somehow, you know, and it's not rankable. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm not sure why that is, if we just are embarrassed to admit our pain, mm-hmm. or we don't want to overstep and make someone feel that they don't matter. I'm not really sure mm-hmm. why we do that. But so my grandpa lost his wife, my grandma, last year as well. So we were kind of grieving together, and mm-hmm. they were married nearly 75 years. Can you imagine?
Wow.
Can you imagine? And he'll always say, you know, well, I had that many years. So, you know, that's not like you. You still have little kids. I'm like, why are we ranking this? It's, you know, it is okay mm-hmm. to admit that you're in deep pain and this sucks. Can I say that?
Yes. Oh, you can say that. Yes, you can.
And it's okay, you know, that I am too. You know, losing a baby is terrible thing. Mm-hmm. Does that make it worse than losing a wife? Mm-hmm. Does it make it worse that there's no ranking?
Yes.
It's all terrible. And I really wish we'd stop doing that, because mm-hmm. we can comfort each other mm-hmm. without doing that.
Well, and you know, you mentioned that about the ranking part, and I take it even further as into the comparison trap, because we compare, you know, let's just take social media, for example, our Facebook feeds, and it doesn't have to be our own Facebook feeds. It's just whatever's in it. And we're scrolling down and everybody's posting mainly that, oh, I look good stuff, or this is my life. You know, don't you want to be a part of it? I mean, there's a few of those that'll get real, but still a lot of it's like, I want to paint this perfect picture that look at what we're doing. I just finished our garden. And you're like, oh man, I wish I could have a garden like that if I could only, but I couldn't spend 8 hours that they did. So in the good life, so to speak, you're comparing, like, I want that. And yet still in grief, we're doing the same cotton picking thing. You know, we're like, oh, I want to have the more grief than you, or I want my situation to feel heavier so I can one up you. At what point do we just drop all the comparison and say, that's how God made me. I don't make, you know, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. So now use me in the way that only God can.
Biblically, God did not pick the perfect people to carry out his will.
Yes.
He picked the hot messes. Mm-hmm.
That's why we're hot messes.
So, yeah. That's my prayer. That's why on my Instagram feed, you will see photos of, you know, of course I like to paint a good picture sometimes, but you'll also see pictures of heaping piles of dishes in my sink because hashtag extra grace required. And, you know, I'm sure there are people that have the gift of organization and cleanliness and, you know, you go girl, but not my gift. Eek. So, I hope cleanliness really isn't next to godliness. Cause if so, I'm in big trouble.
No, that's why you have forgiveness. Thank goodness for that. You know, that is the extra grace required, is when you have the forgiveness and he bestows that upon us. Oh my goodness, Jody, you are so much fun. Okay, so you're sitting here. So I want to make sure people understand this on this timeline. You started out as a single parent.
Yes.
And you have a beautiful daughter. She's your oldest is now 21. You had two other children. And Mark came in the picture, so you came together as a unit. He passed away. So how long were you all married?
We married in 2004, so okay. Math is not my thing either. Let's see.
So
11 years? So,
yeah.
Okay.
Wait. No, that'd be 12 years.
12 years.
He passed in 16, correct?
Yes.
2016. Yeah, so if the 2004 you married.
In March, but our anniversary was December, so it was still.
Oh, okay, so maybe, 11. Yeah, 11 and a half plus years, yeah. Okay, that's still a long time.
Yeah.
And then
we packed a lot into those 11 years. Like, we really had a lifetime of love in that.
Oh.
And I'm so grateful for that. And he adopted my oldest. That was kind of priority, if she will have me. I think he might have been more excited about being her dad than me being his wife on her wedding day. I'm not sure. Aww. But as part of the ceremony too, he presented her with a ring. Aww. And they had a little exchange. I mean, it was a beautiful dream prayer answered moment in our life. And I'm so grateful for it. And at this point, I'm able to recognize, have gratitude more, more than I did in the beginning. After losing him, I just, gratitude was hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I had it, I mean, even making phone calls to Social Security, and there's a mountain of paperwork and busy phone calls and automated press one, press two, and, I mean, months of it, of that.
Yes.
And it was on my heart all while I was on hold on all those phone calls, thinking of the women who maybe didn't have a husband who provided the way my husband did and didn't have a Social Security benefit that they could rely on or didn't have life insurance and maybe had to go back to work right away. Mm-hmm. And my heart bled for them and still does. Yeah. And I don't know how to fix their situation other than by sharing my heart with them, to remind them that they're not alone, to point them to, you know, verses in the Bible that remind us that, you know, all of our burdens cast onto him because he cares for you.
Yes.
And that I care for them. I may not have met them, but I care about them, mm-hmm. and they're on my heart.
Yes.
So there's gratitude in that because I recognize the privilege in my situation.
Yes.
And I recognize that there are those without the same privilege. Mm-hmm. And I would love to one day build this website into something that somehow can scholarship one of these women, at least one of these women. That would be a dream come true for me. Now, how do I get from point A to point B? I don't know, but God has a plan, and I'm going to continue to follow it, and we'll see what he does.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story. And it's a story that needs to be told. And for you being vulnerable and being real, I know that is touching more women and even men than you know.
That's my prayer. Yeah. And if any of this resonated with any of your listeners, they can, you know, support this by subscribing on my website, mm-hmm. Following me on Facebook, at the Extra Grace Required page, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, all the places. That's helpful. Share anything that resonates with you. Share with those in your life that might find it encouraging, entertaining, or comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who might need to hear that they're not alone.
Yes.
I just encourage you to share that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all of this, we all have tragedies. And a tragedy can be anything, which brings about grief and the loss of whatever that loss of fill in the blank is for you. Make sure you share the information. Subscribe to her blog. We will have all of those links in the show notes for you. So you can stay in touch with her because this is a pretty sweet gal. And she's got a heart of gold. And she's going to be moving mountains because she's a mountain mover. And God's right there with her, with you all the way, girl.
Thanks, Christiane.
Oh. Well, before I let you go, a couple things. Number one, we're going to have you back because I want to bring the comfy couch sister back in so we can just chat about anything.
I would love that. I would love that.
Who knows? We'll come up with something. You know, I like these fun little chats that we have. And also continuing to, you know, to follow you and see what you're doing in your motivational speaking. And as an aspiring writer, I'm sure eventually a book will be around the corner. I just know it. I feel it in the bones. So I'm putting it out there for you.
Thank you.
You know, I mean, you put it out there already that you want to scholarship a mom. How awesome that is. It all starts with a thought, a dream, a prayer. Then it starts with that next step and continuing to go. And even when you fall down and you have those dishes that are piled up, you still keep moving forward and you don't give in when the enemy attacks.
Right. And I'm going to keep trusting God's plan and his timing, which mm-hmm. is not the easiest to do because I'm a little impatient. Like I'd like it right now.
Come on, Lord.
But he's shown me to chill out and trust him. So mm-hmm. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. With the notion that perhaps God has a plan bigger than anything I've even dreamt of yet. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned because that's how he works. And I'm excited to see what's next for my life.
Yes.
And reassured that he's there. He goes before me, stands beside me, and has my back mm-hmm. and yours too.
He does. He does. And I got to tell you, Mark right now is smiling down.
I know. He would be really proud of me.
He would be. And he's just, his heart is more than overflowing. And I know your kids love you to death. And they're going to be like, yeah, Mom, you did this. And you did. You totally rocked it. And I cannot wait, Jody, to have you back on. But before I let you go, I have one last question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Many things. It has gifted me a closer relationship with God. Mm. A reminder, because I tend to always need the reminder, no matter how many times he's proven himself magnificent in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He's provided me with yet another example of how he holds me when I can't stand on my own. Mm. And he has provided me with, oh, that's a big question. Like, give me a second to think about it.
You're good.
It has gifted me clearer vision to the pain and suffering of others. And that may not seem like a gift. It might seem like a curse. But I view it as a gift because he didn't make me empathetic for nothing. Yes. And so he has opened my eyes to the pain of others and allowed me to take my imperfections and my story to comfort others. And in doing so, those stories, these stranger friends, I call them, they're in turn comforting me. And so it's really mind-blowing when I think about it, how pain can be transformed into comfort and unity and strength. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't have to be lonely and overwhelming and isolating. It's opportunity for community.
Yes. How beautiful is that? It's opportunity for community. Extra grace required. Jody Whitsett, it has been an extreme honor and pleasure to have you here today. I cannot wait to chat with you again.
Thank you so much, and thank you to all of your listeners. I have a special little giveaway as a thank you to all of your listeners, so stay tuned.
Sounds awesome. Thank you so much. Many blessings and lots of hugs and love to you.
You too.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.